in verse 14. Also locate Romans chapter 12. And John chapter 17. Hosea chapter 2. Romans chapter 12. John chapter 17. When you're there, just say amen. Hosea chapter 2 and verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishai, and shalt call me no more Baali. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beast of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow, or the bow, and the sword, and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In John 17 and 3, and this is life eternal, that ye, or that they rather, might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You would remain standing, place your Bibles beside you this evening. Would you pray with me over this service? Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you for the Spirit of God. We thank you for what we felt in this building. Now, Lord, I pray for a very special anointing to come upon me. I pray, Lord, for a very special anointing to come upon every person in this building. I pray, O Lord, for the anointing of God to permeate the darkness and grasp our soul. I pray, O God, for a move and a stirring of the Holy Ghost to move us out of darkness and to move us out of spiritual lethargic mentalities. I pray now, O God, that you would awaken us to the call of God and to the fervency. Awaken us to the urgency of the hour, O God. Pull us out of darkness into your marvelous light. I pray now, O God, that every stronghold of the devil would be destroyed right now. That your foot would come into this place. Crush it under your foot tonight. Release your people to come out of their captivity and to come into the place where you've called them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord? You may be seated. I've come here tonight to do my best to preach to you a message that I feel that God desires me to preach at this time. It's simply entitled, Betrothed to the Master. Betrothed to the Master. Can you say that with me out loud? Betrothed to the Master. Somehow we have tendencies to become estranged from certain areas of the Word of God. And I feel that it is the work of the enemy to darken our minds and to bring a very black, blinding place to certain realities in our consciousness. And things that once were seems to be gone and they no longer exist. But I've come to tell you what God has expected from the church 2,000 years ago. He respects it from the blood-bought, spirit-filled, redeemed people in 2016. It's time for the one God, Jesus' name, tongue-talking apostolic people to come back to the fundamentals of the Most High God. It's time to get back to the mentality. It's time to get back to the vocabulary of speaking with the consciousness that we are betrothed to the Master. In 2016, Mount Pisgah United Pentecostal Church must come to the realization more than ever before that we are betrothed to the Master. I wish you would say it with me again. Betrothed to the Master. Now, can you add one little word or little letter, however you want to view it, to this subject tonight? Let us go ahead and use the word or the term, I am. Let's say it that way. I am. I am. Can you say that? I am. Can you say it like you're preaching tonight? I am betrothed to the Master. Now, anyone that is betrothed to someone, if they are truly true to that commitment, then their actions change. They begin to treat other people in a different way. They are friendly, but they are in a state of mind that this friendliness is a certain kind of friendliness. It's just an acquaintance type friendliness. It's not really an intimacy, because my intimacy belongs to the one in which I am betrothed. Somehow, over the years, that type of commitment has eroded. That type of thinking has become old-fashioned. But some things just never change. I want to remind you tonight that when we're serving God, the world has no say-so in what is old-fashioned. When it comes to serving God, the world has no authority over what's in and what's out. When it comes to serving God and our commitment to Jesus Christ, the world has no place in giving us instructions about what is up to date and what's out of date. Hurry in this evening. I want us to understand in the next few minutes that when it comes to serving our God, we must deal with it and handle it with the mentality that I am betrothed to the Master. We have got to quit handling our walk with God as casual, as a passing acquaintance, as something that I can turn on and turn off. We must come to the mentality, and we must awaken our souls to the realization that we are betrothed to the Master, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Bishop of Souls, the lover of our very being. We are betrothed to the Master. Hosea is figured to be the first of the minor prophets of contemporary to Isaiah. In the eventful days of Uzziah and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, The word of the Lord came to him, and by his vital relationship with a morally depraved and faithless wife, he symbolically revealed Israel's treacherous relationship with her long-suffering God. The relationship between Hosea and his wife was a mirror image. It was a reflection of God's relationship with Israel. Now we all know, and I don't need to take the time to tell you about Hosea and his wife, but we all know that she was unfaithful. She had no desire to live for God. She had no desire to have one man as her husband. She wanted many relationships, and so she was unfaithful. And God used this woman to reveal to Israel how he felt about the nation of Israel. And so Hosea was a faithful man, faithful to God. And this man was a representation of God. And the woman there represented the unfaithfulness of Israel. And in this setting here, let us try and see something of the abounding grace of this God with whom we have to do. Of the beauty, of the wonder, of the splendor, of the amazing grace. And I could continue on and on and on. We have all of these titles, all of these things that God lays down before us that are just tidbits, if you will. They are just small pieces and small increments that point to how wonderful, how awesome, how glorious, how beautiful, how unspeakable, and full of joy that our God really, really is. Oh, the beauty of His gracious method in wooing, if you will, His beloved unto Him. In Hosea chapter 2 and verse 14, therefore behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. I will allure her. Notice that terminology. He doesn't say, I'm going to drive her. I'm going to beat her. He doesn't say, I'm going to kick her. I'm going to force her. No, he says, I'm going to allure her into the wilderness. His affection, his desire, his love, his appreciation, his drawing. Anybody ever felt the drawing? It's time in 2016 that somebody somewhere under the sound of my voice needs to be broken when you can't feel the drawing of the Holy Ghost anymore. That's not a time to kick back and get comfortable. I've heard people that's backslid go out into the world and do their stuff, and they say, I don't feel the bondage anymore. What they're saying, I don't feel the drawing of the Lord anymore. When we let our flesh get so strong and come out of that crucified way, our flesh begins to pull, and our flesh will pull us away from the drawing of the Lord. Mount Pisgah United Pentecostal Church in 2016, it's time for a people to become hungry and thirsty and desire that alluring, that drawing of the Holy Ghost. Once again, how long has it since you felt the drawing of the Lord? He does not say, I'll drive her, but he says, I'm going to allure her. I will allure her into a condition where her old evil associations, where her old habits, and the lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life will not have the same bewitching influences anymore. We're serving a God. We're betrothed to the Master. And He longs for His people. He longs for His bride to relinquish her attachments to the world. He longs for us to be allured into the wilderness where He can be alone with us, and we can walk by faith, and we can see His miraculous interventions, and we can come into the intimate place with Him, and He can show us His joy. He can show us His power. He can show us His anointing. He can show us His healing. He can show us His mercy and His grace and His truth. Can somebody bless the name of Jesus tonight? But somebody somewhere under the sound of my voice tonight, you've got to be willing to come out of the bewitchings. You've got to be willing to come out of the influences of the world. Come out of the influence of the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, and come into that place where He is alluring us. Thus, the first act of grace is seen in a merciful alluring. It is the mercies of God, Mount Pisgah, that He allures us. It is the mercies of God that He calls us. It is one of the most honorable things that we can ever experience. That while we are yet sinners, the mercy of God, the Master, reaches His hand into the darkness of your world, and He allures you. He allures you. He allures you. He delicately calls you out of darkness into a marvelous light. Young people, this world has nothing for you. This world cannot hold a candle to what God has for you. This world cannot even for a moment hold a candle to the wonder and the beauty of Jesus Christ. But you've got to allow Him to allure you out of the darkness and out of the sin and out of immorality and out of all the things that hell and life has sucked you into. You've got to be willing tonight to say, I'm longing to be faithful to the Master. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice tonight? You cry on your bed at night. You soak your pillowcase because you long to be faithful with the Master. How long has it been since you said, I've got to lay this darkness down. I've got to allow my Master to call me out. I'm ready to be allured by the Master. Is there anybody in this place tonight under the sound of my voice that wants to come back to your vows and say, I'm betrothed. I can't play with the world. I can't run with darkness. I can't commit adulteries with the things of the world. I got to be faithful in 2016. You may find me comical. You may find this message comical. But that's just a warning of how far we can drift from the alluring of the Lord. I pray tonight that somehow that I can preach this message in a way that will take your heartstrings and gird them together and pull you very gently, lovingly, and delicately into the betrothal of the Master. Why are we so slow to recognize Mount Pisgah? Why are we so slow to recognize and believe in this blessed work of the Holy Ghost? Why are we so sluggish? I weep. I call on God. I beg Him for answers. Why are we so sluggish to believe in the blessed work of the Holy Ghost? Why are we so sluggish to imagine that when the pleasures of material things begin to wither and die in our experience, that life has lost its value. Mount Pisgah, I want you to understand in this statement here tonight that our life and our existence is not about the materialistic. The materialistic is for us to manage it and put it in a proper position. It is not to consume us. It is not to raise up and begin to ramrod our lives and take control. The materialistic dimension is just put there for our disposal, and we are to manage it properly. And we are to keep this area up here. We are to keep this area up here. This is where we stay betrothed to the Master. And all the materialistic things is supposed to remain down there under our feet. And we walk upon these things. We tread it under our feet in the power of the Holy Ghost. And all of these high places in our life is a commitment. It is a commitment. It is a betrothal to the Master. In 2016, we need some holy, godly, undefiled men and women who walk about saying, "I am betrothed to the Master." When you see that billboard, you say, "I am betrothed to the Master." When you hear that story, you say, "I am betrothed to the Master." When you hear trouble in the church, "I'm betrothed to the Master." When Hollywood beckons your eyes, "I'm betrothed to the Master." Anybody getting this tonight? Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Perhaps it is time for the great awakening to occur in our hearts. It's time for us to wake up. We are called for a purpose. You were never called to be sinners. You were never called to be people running with spirits of darkness. You were not created to sell yourself to the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You were not created for the temporal things of this world. You were not created to run with the spirits of darkness, but you were created and designed to be betrothed to the Master. The greatest thing you can ever do, the most wonderful thing you can ever do with your life, is to commit yourself to Jesus Christ. The greatest thing you can ever do, the greatest calling you can ever aspire to accomplish, is being betrothed to the Master. To stay faithful to Him on Monday, and stay faithful to Him on Tuesday, and stay faithful to Him on Wednesday, and stay faithful to Him on Thursday, and stay faithful to Him on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. The greatest thing you can do with your body and the greatest thing you can do with your life is to be betrothed to the Master. The greatest thing you can ever aspire to is to be found pure and holy and undefiled in the eyes of God. It's a shame. It's a shame when you can preach to some Pentecostal people who call themselves Christians, and when you preach to them, you can see that they can't catch it. They can't grasp it. It misses them. God, how can I connect to this church in a greater way? God, how can I communicate to the church stronger than I've ever had before? Better than I ever had before? God, give me the words and give me the vocabulary. Give me the ability to communicate to this people like I've never been able to before. But worldliness will deafen our ears. Worldliness will harden our heart. worldliness will put like a raincoat over you. And when the words of God comes in, they'll just hit that raincoat and roll off, and you won't soak anything in. Worldliness and ungodliness will cause you to not be able to soak in the anointing of God in the presence of the Lord. Worldliness will cause you to be so carnal that you cannot comprehend the beauty and the holiness and the wonder of God's words. Worldliness will cause you to sit in the presence of God and not be able to be reached. Long hair, long dresses, hem lines, sleeve lines, neck lines is not holiness. I'll let you marinate on that. Anytime you're relying on that, you're lost. We live that way because we're betrothed to the Master. But that's not our salvation. Our salvation is a true, genuine betrothal, sold out of the blood, the water, and the Spirit, born again of the water and of the Spirit, covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, washed white as snow. And because we are that way, we have a garment that says we are betrothed. Now you understand. I'm not knocking holy dress. But if you don't understand why you do it, you're going to make a mess of it. God put this on me to preach on a Sunday night. That holy dress code is not something to run around saying, I hate it, and I don't want it, and I don't like it. That is a garment that says, I am betrothed to the Master. Uncut hair on women is part of the garment that says, I am betrothed to the Master. It gives you power in prayer. It's power upon your head. Gives you authority to dispatch angels. I haven't preached on this enough, but I need to go ahead and preach it sometime. Amen. Women, you need to get in a prayer closet and let that hair down. And just get to speaking in tongues. And you call on God. There's power in the garment of betrothal. But if you don't have that betrothal resonating in the core of your being, if you don't have the spirit of that betrothal, if you don't have the spirit of that commitment, if you don't have the spirit of that engagement in your soul, in your heart, then all the outward attire, you're just a wolf in sheep's clothing. Are we okay? Mount Pisgah 2016, I have a burden. And I have a desire to preach to this church and to challenge us all, every one of us, to come out of our sleepiness and to come out of our lethargic behaviors and to come out of our mentalities of worldliness and come into this place and be what we're called to be. Everybody in this building wants to see more of God in their life. Everybody in this building wants more miracles. Everybody in this building wants a greater touch from God. Everybody in this place wants another move of God in your life. Everybody here wants an encounter with God. So let us wake up and come out of our sleepy place. It's time to put off the world. It's time to put off carnality. It's time to put off all these things. It's time to put it under our feet. It's time to put it back where it goes. It's time to plead the blood of Jesus over our mind, over our hearts, over our souls, and over our lives. It's time to cast out the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. It's time to put it under our feet. It's time to turn off TVs. It's time to pull out the Word of God. It's time to find an altar. It's time to make prayer in your household a routine. Why are we going to do this? Because we are betrothed to the Master. If we're going to marry Him and be His bride up there, We got to live like we're engaged to Him down here. To our guests, we love you, and I'm not here to hurt your feelings. But to our church family, do we look like we're engaged to Jesus? Do we talk like we're engaged to Jesus? Do we act like we're engaged to Jesus? Do we live like we're engaged to Jesus? It is an act of grace for God to convict our soul. It is an act of grace for tears to flow down our cheeks. It is an act of grace for Him to allow us to repent of our sin. It is an act of grace for us to feel conviction and stirring in our soul. It is an act of grace that we get to turn around and follow Jesus. It is an act of grace. It is the mercies of God that He is alluring this church. It is the mercies of God that He would put this message in front of me and allow your pastor to preach this to us tonight. It is the mercies of God that we have a Savior that says, I want to allure you. I want to be beautiful to you. I want to be attractive to you. I want to call you out to where I can have you all by myself. That's the God that you serve. That's the God that is in this building. That's what He longs to have with you. If your walk with God has lost joy, if it's lost fire, if it's lost fervency, it's not His fault. Because He's full of Holy Ghost fire. He's full of Holy Ghost joy. He's full of Holy Ghost peace. It's because we've broke the betrothal. We've grown cold to the commitment. We've stepped away from His alluring. It is always a seeming barren wilderness to the worldly minded to be brought into a position where they have nothing left but God. Let me say that again. It is always a seeming barren wilderness to the worldly minded to be brought into a position where they have nothing left but God. But those who love their master, those who are betrothed to the master, those who love the bishop of souls, for those who have given all that they may know and relinquished the world behind and have come into that marvelous place of the Holy Ghost, for those people, when they are alone with the Master, their mind is saying, finally, I am able to push the distractions away. Finally, I'm able to shove the world aside. Finally, I have found an intimate, secret place where just me and Jesus are alone together. Oh, Mount Pisgah, I don't want to keep you much longer, but I'm trying to tell somebody somewhere under the sound of my voice tonight, it's time to get a change of heart. It's time to get a change of mind. Because wherever God is, that's where you want to be. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and there is freedom. And you can have revival right where you are. Oh, somebody somewhere, come out of darkness. Come out of the world. Come out of the things of the world. And follow the alluring of the Holy Ghost. There is a drawing in this building tonight. There is a stirring in the Holy Ghost tonight. There is a great awakening in this place tonight. But somebody's going to have to say, I want this hard shell to come off. I want anything that's resisting the love of God to come out. I want anything that's stopping the saturation of the Holy Ghost rain. Anything that would stop the rain of the Holy Ghost. It's got to get out of my life. It's got to get out of my mind. It's got to come out of my soul. Hosea 2 and 14, God says, when she comes into the wilderness place, I will speak comfortably to her. God knows what our deep needs are tonight, church, and how best to meet them. For as a mother comforteth a child, so much more God can comfort your soul. Our God is the God of divine purpose. He didn't call us out of darkness into His marvelous light for no reason at all. He's got a call on your life. He's got a call on your life. He's got a reason for your existence. There's nobody under the sound of my voice that's a mistake. God has plans for you. He has blood to wash your sins away. He's got a name that's greater than any other name He longs to put on your life. You are not a mistake and you're not a uh-oh, but you have a divine call and a divine purpose to come out of your darkness, be allured into His light, and be loved by Jesus tonight. Oh, would somebody bless the name of the Lord. You don't have to wait any longer. You don't have to be bound and tied to the world any longer. There's an anointing here that will destroy the yoke. There is word here that'll reach you where you are. But somebody's got to have the guts to stand up and say, I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of what I've been doing. I'm tired of the way I've been living. I'm ready for the fire. I'm ready for the joy. I'm ready for the miracle. I'm ready to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But somebody somewhere has got to say, I'm ready to be betrothed to the Master. Would you bless the name of the Lord tonight? Would you clap unto the Master? In our life of darkness and bewilderment, we can sometimes believe that there's nothing else. But let me warn you, when you believe a lie, you'll be damned. There is life beyond addictions. There is life beyond mistakes. There is life beyond backsliding. There is life beyond your greatest problems. But you're going to have to turn around and look and say, I see it. Anybody see it? I see it. I see it. What is it? I see it. What is it? It's the hand of the Master. Can you see it tonight? He hasn't forgot about His church. He hasn't forgot about the price He paid on the cross. He hasn't forgot about His love affair with Israel. He hasn't forgot about renewing people and causing them to be born again into His water, into His Spirit. He hasn't forgotten. He hasn't forgotten the price. All He has to do is look. Hands pierced, side pierced, crown with thorns, blood, water flowed down. Still has your name on it. I said it still has your name on it. I said it still has your name on it. The question is, what are we going to do about the calling of the Master? What are we going to do tonight about the beckoning of the Master? He wants to love you. He wants to be betrothed to you. He wants to marry you, live with you all eternity long. What are you going to do about that tonight? Are you going to walk out? Are you going to leave and be unchanged? Are you going to start 2016 the way you lived 2015? What are you going to do about the betrothal? There's a calling. What are you going to do about the calling? What are you going to do about the blood of Jesus. What are you going to do about the nail-scored hand? What are you going to do about the side pierced? What are you going to do about that? Are you going to ignore it? Are you going to reduce it to just a story? Are you going to be betrothed to the Master because of His love, His commitment, and His passion? Why is it that we need so much alluring, church? Why is it that we need so much pride and pushing? Why is it that all of our eyes aren't leaking? Why is it that all of our hearts aren't broken? Why is it? Our Father's hand is never out of harmony with our Father's heart. And if His hand's beckoning you tonight, it's because His heart longs to know you in a greater way. His wisdom is never contradicts His love. Therefore, let us confidently and joyfully trust in His message tonight. Even when we have been disappointed and brought low, where He leads us, we need to say, I will follow. I'm betrothed to the Master. Where He goes, I want to go. The Holy Ghost is still alluring into new and deeper experiences, Mount Pisgah. Will you go there? The Holy Ghost is calling us to our full and complete purpose. Will you go there? The Holy Ghost is calling us to deep dimensions of prayer. High round the Holy Ghost. Will you go there? The Holy Ghost is calling us to walk by faith and just love the Master. Will you go there? I'm just about through tonight. The Holy Ghost anointed the man of God, and he wrote, even though Israel was like that prostitute, he loved her with all of his heart. And he said, Israel, if you'll come out of Egypt, if you'll come out of worldliness, if you'll come out of ungodliness, I'll bring you into my place. And I'll cause you to sing like you sang in your youth. Now, Pisgah, as I come to a close, they take their places on the platform. I want to remind you that we have all grown to a place sometimes where we don't feel like praying like we used to pray. And we don't feel like talking to God like we used to talk to God. And we don't feel like trusting Him like we used to trust Him. We've all grown to a place where that song, that testimony, that joy has seemed to fade somehow. We just don't have that spring in our step. And we're not excited and ready to testify and tell somebody that I know my God will. If you'll pray, if you'll talk to Him, if you'll call on Him, I know He will, I know He will. Where has the fervency gone? Where has the zeal gone? Where has the fire gone? Where'd it go? Worldliness will steal our zeal. Worldliness will rob our joy. Worldliness will steal our expectation. Worldliness will cause us to have a formality of gospel and no power thereof. Now, Pisgah, I haven't come to offend nobody. I haven't come to hurt anybody's feelings, but I've come with a burden on my heart. And I've preached this way because I truly believe it was God giving me this message to preach to you tonight. But it's time for us to find whatever it is that's quenching our fire. It's time for whatever it is that's hindering the spring in our step. It's time for us to find whatever it is that's killing our testimony, because the Word of God says they overcame Him. Oh, come on now. They overcame Him. They overcame Him by what? They overcame by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Oh, somebody somewhere has got to say, I can't lose the blood and I can't hush up. I just got to tell somebody. I just got to tell somebody. I just got to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody. I was once lost, but in sin. And Jesus came by and He took me in. But he says, if you'll come out of the world and you'll come unto me, I'm going to cause you to sing like you used to sing. In other words, he says, I'm going to make the Holy Ghost as new to you as it ever was. You'll have the joy like you used to have. You'll have the song like you used to have. You'll have the excitement like you used to have. Is there anybody in this building that needs the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Your strength to come out of the darkness into the marvelous light. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The strength to be holy. The strength to look holy, live holy, be holy. The joy of the Lord is your strength to hang on when everybody else is saying turn. Tonight as I close this message, what are you going to do with the betrothal? You have an opportunity to be engaged tonight to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God has anointed me to preach this simple message with a pastoral passion, not necessarily evangelistic, but pastoral. Appropriately so. But the call has gone out. What are we going to do with the opportunity to be betrothed to the master? There's always work to be done when there's a wedding. If you don't believe it, you ask some of these young ladies who just got married. They're standing there, hearing the vow, and in their mind, they're thinking about, did I get enough thread in the hem of this dress? Wish we'd have done a little more with those flowers. Wish I'd have worked a little harder to get this and that ready. We don't have it all ready, church. There's still time for us to work on our wedding garment. There's still time for us to get our heart right. There's still time for us to turn our life around. There's still time to repent of sin. There's still time to make that commitment even stronger than we've ever had it before. What are you going to do about it? Will we sit through another service and be unmoved? Or will we say this is the last one? I'm not going to sit through another one and be unmoved. But I'm coming to God. I'm turning around. I'm changing my direction. I'm repenting of sin. Bitterness is not worth going to hell. Unforgiveness is not worth going to hell. It's time to turn your heart to God. And it's time to let Him melt away all the heart. It's time to let Him melt away all the things that have caused you to be poisoned. It's time for it to go. And it's time for you to run to Jesus with all of your heart, soul, and mind. And say, I'm back! I'm back! I'm back! Just as the young lady that was sent for. Abraham sent his servant to find a young lady for Isaac. She didn't know, but she went ahead and said, it's the right thing. She watered the camel. You ought to try that sometime. In our little mind, we can make it real pretty and quick. But if the camel hump is down, fixing to fill a 55-gallon drum of water. You're going to fill that camel up and he'll drink. He'll look around and he'll spit from here to that light. And you'll think, man, I don't want to. I didn't give you water to do that with. I know a little bit about that. I've watered camels. In about 45 minutes, he'll have that 55-gallon drum in. If his pump is down. And his pump will be back up. The bristles, the tissue, the body, soaked in water. You've got to drink it slow. absorb properly. Then he could cross a long, long journey, a wilderness without water. She didn't just fill up one camel, she filled up camels. Her heart was in a condition, in a state where she could be used and she could be betrothed. Come to find out, that man had come for a person that has just that kind of mentality. Jesus is in this building right now to cast blessings and to bestow mercies upon somebody that will say, I'm willing, Lord. I'm willing. I'm willing to be you. I'm willing to draw the water out of the way. Is there anybody here tonight willing to come draw the water out of the well of life? Is there anybody willing to come draw the water out of the well of mercy, out of the well of grace? Is there anybody here willing to be betrothed in 2016 better than you've ever been betrothed to Jesus? Is there anybody here? I've done to my best knowledge and ability what God has sent me to this pulpit to do tonight. I've been the hand that has been waving you on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. The altar is open. Would you step out? Would you make your way to the altar? Nobody's going to scare you to death. We're not going to push this on you. But you're welcome to come sit on this front bench. And as we sing songs and as we lift our voices, church, would you call out? Would you break the silence tonight? Would you call out with a loud voice? Would you call with an endearment? Would you call with a desperation? Would you call with a longing for something? Here I am!
Give myself away. So can you use me? I give myself away.
My mind, my life. How long will it take?
I give myself away.
Will it be too late?
Can you use me?
Will it be in hell?
Give myself away. I give myself away.
Will we have gone
so
too far?
You can use me.
When we decide to turn, will we
away.
See the hand calling? Will we feel the alluring? Will we feel the drawing?
I give myself away. So you can use me.
Ha 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 ha.